What is up, everybody? Welcome to the TJTV podcast, only on Spotify and Google Podcasts. How's everyone doing on this beautiful day? Oh, man, happy Friday. I was so happy to get to Friday. You have no idea. Like, literally, this has been one of the longest weeks I've had in my entire life. But, hey, it is what it is, and I'm really happy. Plus, I have an interview today with Gaz Reynolds, and I'm going to talk to him in about probably 5 to 6 minutes, but man, I have to say, last night was one of the biggest nights in the history of Philadelphia. I mean, we had the Phillies go to the next round of the playoffs. Red October is back, and I have to say something. Every time I hear, like, I watch the Phillies play, this song comes on, and it gives you chills. It gives me chills just listening to it. Dancing on My Own by Callum Scott. Last night was one of the biggest games, and I feel like Philly really needed to win it, and we did. We won 3-1 against the Braves, one of the hardest teams in the MLB. Man. Last night was a really great game. And we almost lost, it looked like. It looked like we were about to lose. But we didn't. We won. This is our theme song. And every time you hear that song, it just gives you chills. It gives me chills. If you're a Phillies fan, it gives you chills. This is the first time in a long time that the Phillies, well, besides last year, but like the last time the Phillies were in the World Series, they won in 2008, and I went to the parade. So I'm hoping this year that they do win and there is a parade, because that's what we need, guys. And I hope on Monday that we win against the Diamondbacks. This is really life or death right now if you're a sports fan. It is what it is. But yeah, I have to say, last night, that game was really great. And I was literally watching the game, and I can't remember who the pitcher, I think it was Suarez. He walked three people, and bases were loaded, and they literally had, it was 3-1, and they had three people on base, the Braves did, and they had one guy batting, and the guy could have gotten a grand slam. But he didn't. I was so happy he didn't, because we would have been into another round with the Braves. And the Braves are one of the hardest teams out there. Same with the Diamondbacks. I hear the Diamondbacks, they have a young team, and personally, that they will probably kill us. But I don't know. I have hope. I have hope that we'll go to the World Series. And I hope we face the Astros again. And I hope we kick the Astros' ass. Honestly. The Astros are such a shit team, and I hate them. You know, it is what it is. I will say this. I did rag on the Phillies all last night. I literally, like, spammed the fuck out of these guys on Twitter. I said, get these catchers out of here. Get someone who could throw a strike and blah, 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 blah. Like, it was just great. You know? But, hey, it is what it is. Anyways, yeah. So, Gaz Reynolds is coming on. We have a lot of crazy things. Oh, here's something trending in the news. Day of Rage. Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. For anyone wondering why 2023, we're celebrating a global Jihad Day of Rage today. Okay. Interesting. Hamas is calling a Day of Rage here in Canada. Yeah, I read that. So before we get on with Gaz's interview, I have to say, this whole Israel and Hamas war that's going on, I have to say, it's been happening for a little bit. It's been happening for a while. But there's honestly nothing we can do. I mean, that's like saying we're going to go to Russia and stop the war happening and stop Putin or stop Kim Jong-un setting off nuclear test missiles to see if it reaches America. Like, we can't do anything about it. There's really nothing we can do about it. I mean, yeah, it's depressing and it's scary to think about. And we do live in scary times, which Gaz and I did talk about that. But you have to live with it. You just have to live with it, roll with the punches and see what happens. Like, there's a lot of crazy and scary shit going on in the world, but there's nothing we can do about it. But that's just my opinion. All right, everybody, let's take a break. I'm going to play a couple clips, and then we're going to talk with Gaz Reynolds. All right, see you guys in a couple seconds. Hey yo! This is such a great song. Talk Dirty to Me by Poison. I would have been like a great kid back in the 80s. Like, these songs, like, songs from the 80s really make me happy. Like, I'm smiling right now of joy. I don't sound like it. It will be at the drive-in in the old man's voice. Down the basement, lock the cellar doors, and baby, talk dirty to me. All right, so a little singing today. All right, oh, Gaz is on. All right, he's on Zoom, so let's get on with it. The Gaz Reynolds interview, only on the TJTV podcast. Here it goes. All right, I'm here with Gaz Reynolds, who is a musician. He lives in the UK. He leads a very interesting life. How are you doing today?
Yeah, all good, thanks, TJ, and thanks for inviting me on the show. Wow, it was a real journey trying to get on this show today with all the techie stuff, but we finally got there.
So you're a musician. How did you get into being a singer? What was your inspiration behind that?
Well, it's strange because when I was very young, I can remember the age of 10, my nan or my grandmother, she had a piano and she couldn't play it, but I was always sort of tinkling around on the piano. That's my first memory of actually getting interested in music. But I had a very unusual life, really, from the age of 10 onwards. And so I started sort of writing tunes about my life. And by the age of probably 16, 17, I'd actually formed my first band and I was writing songs. And probably by the time I was around about, I think 21 when I bought this house, I think I became really serious about writing songs and writing about my own life. And so all the songs really are about things that have happened to me in life. And I've had a very unusual life. Some really bizarre stuff's happened to me. A lot of it's good, a lot of it's bad. So, you know, but it's all reflected in the songs.
Yeah, I remember you told me you had sepsis and you were in the hospital for, I can't remember how long. You said like a couple weeks or so, or was it about a month?
Yeah, okay. So what happened? This is going to sound really crazy. Where do I start at the beginning? Okay, so yeah, well, I had sepsis and I almost died from that. And I was in hospital for a month. I was in ICU. I had to have a major surgery. I was in surgery for 14 and a half hours. So it was literally, I was fighting for my life. And so it was all life changing. But I'll have to sort of rewind a little bit on that story because I do kind of crazy things. I always have done all my life. And I had my music producer always says, don't tell people this part of the story because it's going to sound like really crazy. But it's true. I had a dream that I was going to marry an oriental looking woman. And it's really strange, this story. I know you're going to think crazy. This particular woman actually contacted me on Facebook. I realized, oh my God, that's the one that I saw in my dream. But in my dream, I saw that I marry this woman, but I only met her once ever. And that's actually what happened. So I sort of became friends with her on Facebook Messenger. And then she was in another country. I flew to the Philippines, came up with this crazy idea of getting married after a month, which is stupid. Because you don't even know the person. So we got married, and then I came back. And when I came back to the UK, I suddenly became a bit of a TV star. I had a whole load of TV offers. So I got really busy with that. But what I didn't know is, whilst I was filming all those shows, I was actually very, very sick. And that was with the sepsis. I thought I just had a stomach bug, but I soon found out that I was very, very ill and ended up in hospital. So my wife, I left her in another country, and suddenly she didn't know where I was. I was in hospital, had no way of communicating with her, and lost contact with her. When I came out of hospital, there was a recovery period of about a year where I didn't work or earn any money. And then we went into lockdowns. So there was another 2.5 years gone. So 3.5 years gone, and I wrote this song called Kiss and Fly, which was all about I went there, kissed, and then flew. And it's my highest selling record so far. And the video is quite fun as well. How I got back into music, because when I was a teenager, I used to release records all the time, and I became a bit of a club star in the UK and America. In fact, actually, I had quite a lot of commercial success at one point in America on radio. And then I had what's called writer's block. I just completely could not even write one word for a song. And that went on for 15 years. And how I got back into music more recently, round about lockdown time, was a friend of mine who's a music producer. He asked to remix one of my old records, and he did such a great job. I played a clip of it on TikTok, and it sort of became a sort of viral success on TikTok, which surprised me. So we decided to release it, and it did quite well commercially. And so then he said, you've got to start writing new songs. And that's where this track called Bitches came up from. I just started off with a chorus. And he said, you can't put that out. You're just going to be called a misogynist. anyway, I said, no, it's got to come out. So that was released, and it did really well. And then Kiss and Fly came. And then there's been lots of other songs since then. So, yeah, it's been a few weird years of weird stuff happening.
Yeah, no, I feel that. And you also suffer from heart failure too, right?
Yeah, well, earlier this year I got COVID twice. I remember the first time I got COVID, I really, really was so out of it. I couldn't even breathe or anything. But I got it again, or it might have been that I didn't get rid of it and it just got worse. I don't know. Then I got pneumonia, and I ended up in hospital. And I was pretty close to death. Because I've already got a pre-existing heart condition. This COVID just made it 1,000 times worse. But when I was in hospital, they diagnosed me with heart failure. And I thought, what the hell's that? Well, it's kind of a terminal illness, you know. There is no cure for it. Basically, it's an unfortunate term. It's a bit scary. One doctor told me I literally had a year to live. So I thought, I'm going to fight that. I'm not putting up with that. There's no way I'm just going to be living for a year. And she told me that, over a year ago. But anyway, since then I've been told I've got 3 to 5 years to live. But I actually think I'll probably make old age. That's my plan. But when I actually got sick, I wrote this, when I was very, very ill with COVID, I wrote this song called I Want to Be Free. And I wrote that in half an hour. And I managed to, when I recovered from the COVID, I managed to actually go into the studio and actually sing that song in I think two takes. So, you know, there was one take for warming up, and then I actually just delivered the whole song. So I was pretty, in a way, even though something unfortunate like COVID happened, at least a good song came out of it. That's how I think.
Yeah, definitely. Isn't it amazing though? Like, you had sepsis, you have heart failure, and you're obviously taking pills for it now. And then you had COVID on top of that.
Yeah.
You only have like a year to live, or 3 to 5 years to live, but you just said, like, you know what? I'm just going to do me. That's what you're doing. You're literally.
Yeah. Well, I at the end of the day, you know, like my mum always says, you can die at any point anyway. So there's no point in sort of like thinking, oh, I might be dead tomorrow, because we might all be dead tomorrow. A meteor could hit the planet tomorrow and we could all be gone. So that's how I look at it. So it's best just to live your life and try and do as many things as you possibly can. In fact, actually, this fish tank, I actually bought this when I had COVID, because I thought, when I got the diagnosis of heart failure, I thought, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go out really chilled out. So if I'm going to pass away, I'm going to be watching my fish, and then I'll go into a nice, peaceful death. I know it sounds a bit weird, but now I don't think like that. I wake up every morning and I see these guys and I think, wow, that's something to be proud of, you know, and something interesting to look at. And I sit in this room and I write songs.
Yeah, no, definitely. And you said that's a tropical tank, right?
Yeah, this one's tropical, but I'm looking into having a marine tank now. But I've got tanks all the way through my house.
Yeah, I remember you
said tank mad.
Well, you said there's one tank that, like, you're 6 foot tall, and if you go in it, it's up to your chin or something, right?
Yeah, I'm 6'3", and I've got a tank downstairs. If I stood in that, it would go all the way up to my neck, the water. but yeah, I was talking about health stuff, and I think I mentioned to you off air before about my heart condition. And years ago, I think I was in my sort of mid-30s, I was driving the car and suddenly everything turned upside down. I've had loads of really weird things happen to me, but everything turned upside down. So the sky became the ground and the ground became the sky. I didn't know, but I was actually having a stroke because of this heart condition. And anyway, I managed to get back home, luckily, and then I passed out for about 4 hours. When I came to, I managed to grab the phone. And even though I couldn't see, because I'd actually gone blind at this point, I'm not blind, by the way. I've got my eyesight back now, because a lot of people ask me because of the dark glasses. I remember I grabbed the phone and I pressed this button, and it was the first button I pressed, and it was just so lucky it was my mum's number dialed that was already programmed into the phone. And she couldn't understand what I was saying, but she knew what was happening because I had slurred speech. And so she rang for an ambulance, and then luckily I'd left the door open because I'd collapsed in my house, and they came and took me away to the hospital where, and this is going to sound crazy as well, but that's where I saw an angel. And again, my music producer and often other people tell me, don't say all of this, because I'm not religious at all. But I actually did see an angel, and a friend that was with me actually saw the angel too. So that's why I know I wasn't hallucinating. And in the song, I Want to Be Free, I actually referred to that by saying that I spoke to the angels and they made me see. So that's one of those things where I've used my life experience and something that's happened to me and referred to it in a song.
Yeah, no, I feel that. Yeah, I mean, I told you this as well off air, like, I'm not a religious guy. I went to church when I was a kid, maybe for like a few years, and I stopped. But I remember I got put to sleep for surgery once, and I remember seeing angels. I felt like I was up in heaven or something, like, because I was in a clear blue sky with clouds in it, and I saw angels all around. I saw like a really like gold metal gate that was just opening up for me. It was weird.
Wow. Yeah. That reminds me of some of the stories of mine my grandmother used to tell me, because I inherited her heart condition basically. So a few times she actually died and was brought back from death. But So she saw some of the things that I've seen. Like when I saw that angel, I saw like a swirling tunnel behind the angel. It's really strange. It was full of light. And but my grandmother described these sort of things as well. So there's something in it. And even though I'm not religious, I have there's a documentary which can be you can see on YouTube called Gaz Reynolds' The Story So Far. And I talk about how I've written a lot of songs at St. Paul's Cathedral because I used to go in there quite a lot. Found it very sort of, I don't know, relaxing. There was an atmosphere in there. And so I used to quite often just sit in there and then suddenly songs would come to me. And so we actually filmed at St. Paul's Cathedral as well, one of the locations where I used to write songs quite frequently.
Yeah. So my favorite song that you played was Bitches, and I know you have a mug for that too.
And I don't have it with me now. But yeah, Bitches, very popular song. My music producer said don't release that, and I said no, I'm going to release it. And he actually did get banned because of the title. And my argument was there was lots of artists around at the time that had bitch in the title, so I actually went to my music distributor, and they went to their legal department, and they actually argued. I was able to give examples of artists that are from TikTok and, you know, probably bigger than me, but had the word bitch in the title. And there's far worse things. I mean, I've seen there's one track out called Fuckboy. You know, I mean, I hope you don't have to bleep that. But I mean, you know, that charted. So if that can get out there, then why should my record Bitches be banned? And that was my argument. And well, the legal team argued it, and all the platforms, you know, Spotify and Apple Music and Amazon, they all then, you know, allowed the release. So so it came out, and it's done quite well commercially. And I'm very proud of the song. And it sort of then led on to lots of other records coming out. So I seem to have overcome my writer's block now, and I seem to have all these new songs coming.
No, yeah, you're right about that, because every song, almost every rap song and other songs have bitches or fuck in the title.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, there's a lot of what would be with many would call unacceptable language suddenly is acceptable.
Yeah, it's weird. It's bizarre. Just think about it. I mean,
well, music's all about expression, isn't it? So really, you should be able to express yourself as long as it's not hateful. I think, you know, and of course, you have to have some rules somewhere. But I think, you know, bitch or bitches these days, I think most people would probably just kind of go, oh, OK.
Yeah, it's. And that's the thing, like, a lot of people do express themselves, like, when it comes to making music, like you. You express yourself and your feelings and your life in your music, which is something I like. Because, like, a lot of people, when they do that, it tells the story of who you are as a person and what you've been through.
That's right, yeah. And for me, it's a great outlet because I've had so many unusual things happen to me. And some of them quite stressful and quite depressing. Other stuff's been really positive. But, you know, if I didn't have music, I think, you know, that outlet of writing the songs and being creative, I think I probably would have killed myself by now.
That's a little morbid, but...
No, I wouldn't have literally done it. But, you know, sometimes I felt that way, like, oh, you know, I could kill myself. But I've got that outlet that I don't feel that way. I feel quite positive.
So you struggled with a little bit of depression then?
Well, I mean, I think everybody does. And it's interesting you say that, because there was a song that I wrote when I actually was depressed, which was when the Ukraine war started. And I was getting a bit depressed. And actually my sister said to me, you're getting obsessed with the Ukraine war. And I was, because I thought the whole world was going to come to an end. And I ended up... I was getting so obsessed, I wrote this song called Devil Rising. And I actually think it's one of my best songs. It's it is actually about all the things that are going on wrong in the world, and how there seems to be, the devil seems to be rising, you know, like Putin. And look at what's going on in Israel at the moment, you know. Yeah. So I think it's a very relevant song, you know. And but as soon as I wrote the song and recorded it, I was out of the depression. So I tend to think sometimes these things happen to me because I have to go into this creative mode. So maybe that depression was a creative mode. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm a weird person. I'm weird. That's all I can say. I'm weird.
That's fine. I mean, no, I agree, though. Like, I was obsessing over the Ukraine and Russia war last year when it happened. Was it last year?
No, a couple of years back now.
Yeah, a couple of years back. Like, ever since COVID happened, my mind's been, I don't even know what day it is sometimes. But with Israel and Palestine, when that started happening last week, I was sitting up late at night watching the footage that Twitter was posting and the news was posting, and I was freaking out about it because I'm just thinking, like, this could be a third world war that we're going into. And
could be, yeah. And also, you realize that even in America or the UK, something like this could really happen in the future to us.
Yeah. And it's scary to think about because, like, we don't know what Putin's intentions are, or other countries' our intentions are. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they could set off a nuclear bomb, and that's what I...
Exactly. Yeah, we live in a very scary world. A very scary world.
And, like, yeah, it's scary just to think about, you know?
Smile, you're on TikTok.
Is that a Canon?
Yeah, yeah. This is my favorite vlogging camera.
Oh, that's what you use.
What's the name of your show?
TJTV.
There you go. You just promoted it on TikTok.
And also, yeah. Well, it is a scary, like, I live outside of Philadelphia. So, like, if something were to happen, like, if a bomb ever did go off, I would be probably in the midst of it because I'm literally 40 minutes away from Philly. I'm like about 35 miles. Yeah.
Yeah. I've never actually been where you are, but I've traveled extensively around America. I could tell you the story about how I got banned from America if you want to hear that one.
Yeah, I would like to. Yeah.
Basically, when 9/11 happened, I was married to an American at the time, and she was here, and we saw 9/11 actually happen on the TV, and I remember hearing something on the news about that anyone who wanted to travel to America would have to apply for a visa. So when she went back to America, because she was over here visiting me, and I had to stay in the UK, and I was planning to go and visit her in America. So I rang up the US embassy to find out if I needed a visa. And the lady I spoke to, she said, have you ever been in trouble with the police? Well, the thing is, I'm very immature and come out with stupid jokes all the time. So I say inappropriate things sometimes rather stupidly. And I recognize that that's one of the pitfalls of my personality, really. Well, anyway, I said to her, oh, yes, there was that time when I was 10 and I got caught by a police officer stealing a penny sweet from a sweet shop. Well, that did happen. I did put a sweet in my mouth because I was messing around with this friend of mine. I was only 10. This police officer did actually see me from outside. He was looking through the window at the time, and he came in and grabbed me by the ear and made me pay for the sweet. I don't know why I mentioned that to that woman on the phone, but the next thing is I'm a criminal in America. It's a really crazy story. And I remember I tried to get a visa for America. They said no. And I really needed to go because there was a lot of things happening with my music at the time. This is going back years ago. I think we could be looking, literally was the time of 9/11.
Right.
So around about that period. And I remember I had a record that went into power rotation called In This House. And Howie Rosen, who was the head of Island Records at one point, he'd become a radio promoter. And he was promoting my record, and he was doing a good job of it. So I went into power rotation right throughout the whole of the US. So I had the chance of becoming a household name, basically. All that got screwed up. I couldn't go to America. And then a few years later, somebody said to me, oh, don't worry, you can go to America now. So I didn't check anything out. I just booked a ticket to LA thinking, oh, I've got my ticket. So obviously everything's okay. I get on the plane, everything's okay. Then I get to America and I get detained and arrested and then deported. I was put into a very scary place. I was way underground. Again, this is the time of around about that time of 9/11, probably a year or two in after 9/11, but there were all the strict rules and everything. And I got deported, and I remember I had an armed FBI officer escorting me all the way back to Heathrow Airport, and very, very scary. And then there was two police officers from the Met Police waiting for me at Heathrow Airport. And this armed officer handed over my file. They opened it up, had a look at it, laughed, and said, right, another one for the bin. You can go. I was thinking I was going to get arrested for God knows what. And as I said, I didn't do anything wrong in the first place. I don't have a criminal record. The only record I have is bitches and some of those other records that I've released. Did you like the joke?
Yeah, I did.
Quite a bad one, really. But so I don't know. Someone said to me that I should be able to return to America now because of the Statue of Limitations and all that stuff. So I need to look into that because I used to do a lot of radio interviews and college radio interviews as well and podcasts in America. So I was getting my name around quite a lot. But then all of a sudden there was none at all. So I was quite excited when you approached me to come on your show because I thought, oh, wow. A new American interview, you know, so I was quite excited.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's the thing. Like, I like interviews with stories because everybody who I've interviewed, they all have a different story and they all have been through different things in their life. And some stories are similar, but some stories are also really interesting. Like your story, you have a really good story.
Oh, thank you.
You're probably the third or fourth person from the UK that I've interviewed because Tim was one of the first ones I've interviewed, Tim Turner.
Oh, right. So you've interviewed Tim Turner.
I've been on his show too. Yeah, we both interviewed each other. I'm trying to get back. Yeah.
Well, because he's become a good friend of mine, and he was sending me a message earlier. And as you know, I've been on his show. So, but yeah, great guy.
Yeah, we talked a lot. I mean, me and him have a lot to talk about whenever he comes on. But yeah, I love interviewing people like in different areas of the world because you get to hear their story and what they've been through. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And I was going to say also a great thing about the music industry now with modern technology is artists who, like when I was releasing my earlier records when I was younger, I used to release them on CD and vinyl, and you know, I've been doing this for a long time. It was always hard to promote the records. I mean, yeah, I did have some club success, but then I managed to get onto radio and I was doing radio stuff. But the thing is, with shows like your show and TikTok and you know Tim Turner's show, there's that opportunity to have it online. And for more and more people to see what you're actually doing, and it's there permanently.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too. Like a lot of people who post up online, when their shows are more scripted, I feel like it doesn't flow as good. You know what I mean? I feel like it's just like you're reading off of a script, and it's not really worth it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally agree with you, and I absolutely hate scripts. Well, I said this to you off air before. That I hate doing interviews. Sometimes they'll say, oh, we want to talk about this. Do you want a list of the questions? And I say, no, I just want it to be spontaneous because otherwise, I think a lot of people, when they watch interviews, they don't really want to hear something that's scripted. They want to see that person and see them in their natural state, if that makes sense, even with all the mistakes. So if they make mistakes, then they make mistakes.
Yeah, exactly. Like I told you this off air too. Like someone came to me and said, "Oh, you have to have a script." And I had it, had this, and I just said, "But I'm going to read the script." And I read it, and the second episode, I was like, "Screw that!" And I threw the script.
Yeah, well, that's it. Because me personally, I like to be spontaneous. I think you do as well, and it's more natural. Whereas, like I'm doing the live on TikTok later on, there won't be any script there. It'll just be completely, you know, all disorganized chaos, probably.
Yeah, and that's what I like. I mean, I feel like scripted things that are a lot like for podcasts and TikToks, it's not fun, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, I totally agree. And like I said, I think on platforms like TikTok, people do not want to see. I've tried very edited videos, really well planned edited videos on TikTok, and they don't work. Whereas stuff that's more spontaneous, that's not so processed, seems to be more popular.
Yeah, exactly. So you also do videos on TikTok too, right?
Yeah, I do. I've got close to 140,000 followers now, and 1.7 million likes I just hit 2 days ago, which I was
Really?
quite pleased about. Yeah, I mean, one of my friends, he's sort of retired from TikTok, but it was a full-time career for him. He got to 100 million views and something like 80 million likes, you know. And I actually did a TikTok with him the other day. I got him out of retirement, and I was expecting that to blow up, that video, but it didn't. Probably because people have forgotten him now. You know, he's been off the platform too long. But you know, that's a big achievement, you know, to have that kind of views. But I just felt really excited that I'd hit, like, I think it was 12.5 million views and 1.7 million likes. I thought, wow, you know, that means people are watching.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like with one of my videos, I told you I have two accounts, a backup account, which is just if my TikTok ever gets taken down. But it's also that's has a low amount of followers. But my regular account, TJTV6 on TikTok, that has 23,000, 23,
Wow,
24,000.
that's good. That's good. I'll have to follow you.
Yeah, that I'll send you the links when we're done. And also, like the one video that hit 1.3 million views was
Wow.
it was I saw because I made a series where I'm on the dark web but I'm portraying it as real, and I said, here's what I saw on the dark web, and I gave a full description, and people were literally, it's a 2 minute video, and everyone's getting pissed off at the video saying like, oh, fake, you're a pussy, if I find you, I'm gonna come after you, like. And it's all because of that video, and it's 1.3 million views. I'm like, this is great.
Well, it seems like negativity and hate seems to get more views than if you go, "Hi, I'm Gaz Reynolds. I've got a new record out." People go, "So what?" You know. So you have to come up with. That's what I'm doing on TikTok. I've come up with creative ways of kind of trying to promote my music, because your diehard fans, they'll go, "Oh, great, you've got a new record out." But like the other day, I was in one of my favorite restaurants, so I thought, well, I'll make a video in the restaurant, and but I can promote my music at the same time, and that seemed to get quite good views because I was showing food, you know, nice food in a nice restaurant. Plus I've just promoted my record. But you have to come up with clever ideas these days. I've done advertising campaigns on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok, and yeah, okay, they've got views and stuff, but they didn't really get the streams I was expecting, or the sales off of the advertising. So advertising a record doesn't, or a song doesn't necessarily particularly work. You've got to go out there, and actually it'll probably be better for me to go to my local store and sing my song outside the store with the local postman, which I have done before. That got 500,000 views straight away within an hour.
Really?
Yeah, the postman was dancing in the background whilst I was singing the song. So and I just grabbed a few other people off the street. So those sort of things seem to attract people's attention more, and then they're likely to go over to Spotify or, you know, Amazon Music or, you know, Apple Music or whatever, and go and stream or download your tracks.
Yeah, definitely. And you said you had a guy who was on the show Vikings, and he was on your TikTok, and you were expecting it to hit a lot of views, but it didn't really get to where you wanted it to be.
Yeah, well, I'm actually doing a live with him tonight. So I've got this friend called Peter Coyle who was in the Amazon show The Vikings for 7 years. And so I often do TikToks with him, and I did one the other week, I did two with him. One, he was teaching me Irish, the Irish language,
right,
which was quite funny. And then I did another one where I rang him up and I said that I'd named a fish after him from this tank here. And I'm promoting my music, but I was expecting those videos to blow up because they were quite original. And a lot of people did watch them, but they weren't getting the views that I was expecting. And it could be that maybe there's too many people on the platform, or that because the algorithms changed, because my videos used to really blow up. I used to get like a couple of hundred thousand views or whatever. So I've never had one go to 1.3 million or whatever that you had, but I had one get close to a million. And I've always wanted a video to go literally to a million at least. And I still haven't achieved that yet, but you know, I'm doing okay. I mean, 12 point whatever it is million views in total. That's pretty good. And 1.7 million likes. So I'm happy with that. It's probably more than that now.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you could still do it. It's it's very hard, but it's also very easy. Because TikTok, I feel like a lot of people watch videos that are only like maybe 15 seconds to a minute.
Yeah, I think so. I think people's attention span generally is very, very short. I mean, you and I, we like to watch longer videos. I sometimes like to watch short videos as well, but I've realized that people's their attention span is very, very short. I mean, I'm working on a documentary at the moment about my new record that's coming out, and the documentary is called Alienated, and the record's that's coming out is called Alien. And the documentary is going to be maximum 4 minutes long, and Tim Turner will be in that, your pal, and our pal, he'll be in it. But we had this discussion that that documentaries and long form videos, I mean, you can make a 10-minute video on TikTok now. I've made videos of 2 minutes and they don't get any views, but if you do one of 15 seconds, you're likely to get quite a lot of views.
Yeah, and that's so, well, I was going to say, like, I have long form videos on my YouTube channel and they've really gotten close to nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's just because people's attention span is so short these days. You've only got to look at people out in the community and they're all texting away or talking to someone. Then they'll be talking to someone else. And it's just crazy.
Yeah. And the thing that I'm like kind of focusing on, like, I want to do my own version of a documentary, like of my story so far.
Cause yeah, I feel that like sounds good.
I have an interesting story, but there's so much I have to put in the story, and it's like I can't make it a 4-minute video because there's just so many details I have to throw in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think what people like these days, and I've started to do this, I've started to do vlogs on TikTok about some of the things that have happened to me in life. I could have had a separate account for that. But I thought, no, just put it all on the one account, because my account on TikTok or YouTube or whatever, they're not necessarily just about music. They're about me, what I do. You know, I'm making this stuff for me. If people want to watch it, that's fine. But I'm not trying to create it because I think that it's going to be popular with others, if that makes sense. So what I'm doing is I'm actually telling my story. And if people want to listen to that story through my records or through vlogs or whatever I'm doing, that's great, but it's just my way of expressing my feelings, if that makes sense. You know,
no, I know it does make sense a lot. Yeah, I just, I don't know, I like documentaries of people's lives because it you never know. You know what I mean? And music too. I like the music when people tell the story through their music.
Yes, and I was watching one of my big influences in my music is well, I love 80s music, but I'm trying to move on from that now. And I'm still keeping that 80s vibe in a lot of my tracks, but I'm also playing around with lots of new modern sounds and stuff. But I was actually watching a documentary about Duran Duran earlier today on YouTube. And I was thinking, wow, they just don't make these documentaries anymore. And it was really interesting. It was quite a long documentary, but it was the whole band history. And I thought, wow, I didn't know all of that. And I've been a big fan of Duran Duran for a very, very long time, ever since I was a kid. I was just really interested in the history of that band and how many changes they've gone through in the lineup. And I guess I've had bands, and then I decided to just be a solo performer because I just thought I won't be able to deal with all the lineup, you know, changing lineups and arguments in a band and all the rest of it. But I quite like working on my own. But now I've started to look into doing collaborations as well, and I'm hoping to do more of that sort of kind of songwriting very, very soon.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. Like, collaborations are also a good way to gain a following. Like, you get their followers and your followers, and it's like a cross promotion type deal.
Well, it is and it isn't, because I've noticed, I mean, like tonight, I'm doing, in about half an hour's time, I'm doing a live on TikTok with Peter Coyle from the Vikings. And he's completely wacky like me. In fact, I'm being very sensible today. But when we get together, I mean, we're such good friends. We talk to each other every day. And it's really strange because we're good friends, but we've never actually physically met. And we will do soon. I'm probably going to go to Ireland, and he'll probably come down to London, and we'll probably do some videos and stuff. But tonight we're doing a TikTok for half an hour, you know, 6 till 6:30, and he's going to be talking about, you know, when he was in the Vikings for 7 years, and also he does music, so he'll be talking about that, and I'll be talking about my music releases. He often makes TikTok videos dancing to my song. So I said it would be quite funny if you go down to the pub, because he lives in Ireland, go and get a bit drunk, and then we can get you dancing live to some of my songs on the TikTok. So I think it will probably be quite a funny one tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. But what was I going to ask you? And you also get paid a little bit with TikTok too, right?
Yeah. So I've got lots of different. This is something I was sort of looking into doing more of, actually. So all my videos are monetized. TikTok doesn't really pay that much, if I'm really honest. But what I do is I also use TikTok, actually have all my tracks on their platform. So does Facebook and pretty much every other platform. They all have Gaz Reynolds music. So anyone making a video can actually use my songs on their videos, and I'll get royalties for that. So if I make a video with one of my songs in it, I'm getting paid from TikTok, but I also get paid again from TikTok for the audio from the music royalties, which is slightly higher. So it's always worth me having my own songs on my videos, if that makes sense. And it's the same on YouTube or anywhere. If I put my tracks on in the background, then I'm getting paid twice, like from the video and from the audio. But what I've also found is when I got to 100K followers on TikTok, a company called Cameo, I don't know if you've heard of them.
I've heard of that.
Yeah. Well, basically, you have to be, I suppose, a recognized public figure. I wouldn't like to say celebrity, but a recognized public figure. So I'm classed as a public figure. So they took me on to Cameo, and I was so excited to be on there, but I didn't actually do any videos, even though I was getting loads of bookings. I actually didn't do any videos for them for 2 years. I've just started doing them now. So I've realized from TikTok, I can go on TikTok and say, hey, I'm going to do this every so often. I'm just going to remind people that I can actually do videos for them, shout out videos, which I'll get paid for. from Cameo, and the fan base or anyone who's watching can come from TikTok over to, you know, over to Cameo and book a. In fact, I did it the other day. I made a video on TikTok, said, "Hey, I'm now taking orders for cameos," and I got 118 orders in. I think it was half an hour, which was crazy. And I filled them all in sort of like a few hours. I managed to do them all. You get some really crazy requests sometimes, but anyway,
I can only imagine. Well, since you got like a half hour before you have to go, I'll let you go. But is there anything you want to promote before you get out of here?
You can head out if you want to stream my music or check it out. You can go over to Spotify and all the major platforms like Amazon and Apple Music, iTunes, etc. YouTube Music as well. If you want to check out other interviews I've done or documentaries or even my music promo videos, they're all up on YouTube. But you can also check me out on TikTok. Don't forget to give me a follow as well. I'm always pretty active on TikTok, so I usually do a couple of videos a day on there. Some of them are really stupid, but you know, everything on TikTok's stupid anyway. But there's some sensible stuff as well. So I do some sensible stuff. I do some wacky stuff. Sometimes I sort of look back and I think, oh my God, did you make that? I mean, I remember once I made a video on TikTok. All I was doing is eating a bacon sandwich. You wouldn't think that would get 94,000 views, would you?
No.
But it did. So, and sometimes I do TikToks with, I've done, I don't know if you've heard of Ollie London. I did he's the guy who changed his face, plastic surgery, to look like a K-pop star. Don't know if you've heard. He's quite big in America at the moment. So I did a TikTok with him. Did one with Johnny Vegas, who's a very famous comedian here. And I've done TikToks with a lot of sort of well-known TikTokers. In fact, I'm doing one with a famous TikToker very soon, 500,000 followers. Hopefully I'll get 500,000 followers from her.
You can only hope. Well, hey, thanks for coming on. And, you know, like I said, about the crazy technical things we had earlier. Sorry about
Well, I'm used to that. I do a lot of interviews, and so we quite often have techie stuff. I'll probably have techie problems later on when I'm trying to do a live. I remember I was trying to do a live with Tim Turner the other week, and then we realized he didn't have the required followers on TikTok to be able to do that. So you should join the live if you can today. That would be good. Promo for the show.
I'll send you a follow, and I'll try to join it later on.
Yeah, that would be good. But anyway, it's been great being on your show, and thanks so much for inviting me on.
Definitely, and I'll have you on again sometime soon.
Yeah, I'd love to come back, and you never know, I might ring you up and put you on my TikTok channel and say I've bought a fish and named it after you.
Yeah, I would like
to. I do crazy things like that all the time. But yeah, it's been great being on your show, and I'll definitely like to come back.
Awesome. Well, thanks again.
Wow. What a great interview. It's really great. All right. So that was it. That's the interview for today. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you did, make sure you smash the like and subscribe. Spotify, Google Podcasts, Anchor.fm. Also TJTV6 on TikTok, producer TJ995, where I'm posting another podcast clip. I'm going to be posting one that Sam and I did yesterday, which was pretty cool. And TJTV on Facebook. A lot more fun stuff, guys. Very fun. All right, so actually, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to leave you guys with the song. The Phillies theme song. I know I played it. It's overplayed, but you know what? I'm proud. This is us going into the World Series. I see it right now. Anyways, I'll be back next week, guys. Love you all to death. I will talk to you next week. And hopefully, you know, we got some fun stuff coming your way. So... all right. Peace out, everybody. Bye.